The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is Jessica with Shasta Unmasked. Welcome. Tonight we have with us Benjamin Nguyen with the North State Breakdown.
Welcome.
Benjamin. Thank you.
Yeah. Welcome, Dean, I guess.
And we also have Jenny Nguyen here as a guest.
Hi.
Welcome. Benjamin is joining us as a guest host tonight. And we also have Ashley on the line. Mm-hmm. Ashley.
Hey, hey, hey.
We are downtown in the Reading studio at the KCNR Studio 96.5 FM. Our phone lines are open for the hour, 530-605-4566 or 67. You're welcome to give us a call, and if you have any questions or comments during the hour, you're welcome to call in and chat with us. So tonight we have our Board of Supervisor recap. We are recapping several meetings now that the election's over and we have time to talk about something else. For our Soup's Gone Wild episode. And boy, have they gone wild.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not an understatement.
No, yep. They've been perfectly mellow. It's just, you know.
So, Ashley, where should we start?
I mean, let's go ahead and begin at the beginning. Was it the first night meeting? We had night meeting, and then we had opioid funds meeting, and yes. Then we had second night meeting. So let's go to the Wayback Machine and talk about the first one, which was, I guess the main point of contention was Patrick wanting to release some redacted emails pertaining to the Zuckerbucks that he's so upset about.
Yes, the Center for Tech and Civic Life. Yeah, that was the November 7th meeting. I remember it quite well.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you do.
It took me a moment, but now I realized, yeah.
I didn't see the whole thing.
God, you're funny.
I might have forgotten that we joining us tonight is Jenny Nguyen, the most notorious criminal of Shasta County.
Yeah,
I've been driven to a life of crime. I'll try to repent, but you know, once you're in the cycle, it's just
nearly impossible to get out.
It is.
We got to fix that recidivism rate.
Mm-hmm.
You're not helping, Jenny.
So, for our viewers who don't know what happened, Jenny, would you like to give them a brief overview?
I mean, there is a video
from your perspective.
From my perspective, yeah. Well. Certain words aren't allowed on the radio. At
right.
This radio station.
No cussing.
No. So we'll try to keep this clean.
Okay.
From my perspective, there are a few bullies up on the dais. Some people who would prefer that their own way of thinking be the only way of thinking in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
And they are going out of their way to torture the last guard, we'll say. People like Joanna Franciscat are very dedicated register of voters or assistant to. It's a little frustrating to be on the other end of this. And personally, I had a point where I'm just not going to put up with this anymore.
And I think a lot of us feel that way. I just think I think that the issue right now is we don't see a lot of support from like-minded individuals in those meetings because they're really afraid to go. And after this election cycle, they may be even more
and burned out.
Yeah, they may be more disincentivized to go.
Yeah, I know for me in particular, I feel so burned out after spending so much time and energy and everything that we have on doing all the things we think are the right way to go, like creating a radio show and talking about it and doing things the legal way and putting our voices out there, trying to get the right people elected. And after spending so much time doing all of that, and it means nothing.
I actually don't think that that's true.
I know it means something, but it feels like it in the moment.
I agree.
When you're sitting up there and you're hearing the same things that you've been hearing for years.
Well, especially since they won.
Right.
I mean, when you get a wide sweep, aren't you just supposed to be happy? Aren't you just supposed to be like,
The gamesmanship is pretty insulting, actually.
Why are they so mad still?
I don't know.
They're like the group, the sorest winners that I have ever seen.
And their elections are fraudulent, and they won.
Actually, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine in Sacramento who knows nothing about any, well, now he knows everything about this, but prior to he knew nothing. And then he started studying it because he's talking to me and I'm telling him and he's like, no way. And so he starts reading everything he can read and asking me all these questions. And he's like, we were talking about this meeting and I was saying the same thing. Why are they still going after Joanna? And he said, it's the agenda. They're going to finish the agenda.
She's the last guard.
Yeah.
And actually, Patrick has gone on the radio and stated that. I don't recall exactly what show. It might have been KQMS or something. But there was one radio spot that he was on where he essentially stated she was the last one, the remaining person, like indicating that, you know, of whatever political ideology he doesn't align with, she's the last one.
Yeah.
Well, that and Stephanie Bridget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's not getting it easy either.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So what happened, Jenny, when you couldn't take it anymore?
Well, I mean, it is on video. So anybody who wants to see distraction that I guess that I, what is it?
Penal Code 403, disruption of a public meeting is what it's officially been stated as.
Mm-hmm. You know, how terribly.
Now, what I can tell you about from my perspective, the board didn't even follow their own rules. They're supposed to, at least they in the past, they said that they would give three warnings, and she didn't even receive one until she was sitting down on the ground. And they said, okay, you have a warning. And after that, they cleared the room. Now, what's interesting about that is they went to recess, and a recess states that the meeting is still in session. At that point, they were telling everybody to go outside, and they were telling the media that they needed to leave.
Right.
And of course, the Freedom, the FAC, which is the First Amendment Coalition, they stated, that's not how meetings work. The meeting was still in session. And they even stated that their vague assertions of safety was not enough to kick people out. You can't just, you know, yell safety.
Right.
She didn't have a knife or anything.
I mean, I'm just so dangerous. Just look at me. Just look at this. Like, I'm just, you know, 130 soaking wet. And, you know, just, I mean, just so... It's violent and volatile. Haven't you seen me at those meetings, Ben?
You're a hardened criminal.
I am a hardened criminal. I mean, I'm going to get tats of those little strawberry tears for every officer I've ever annoyed. There's going to be a lot of tattoos.
Well, there's going to be a lot. You could be the fifth member of Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
they need a ukulele player.
They do. And I'm great at it, you know.
The whole situation is kind of absurd. I think it's exposing a lot about how the county views any level of opposition, which is, you know, part of the democratic process, is having opposing voices in the room and being able to work with them, which, you know, I actually had come to that meeting that day not knowing what was going to happen, thinking, hey, I'm going to give a speech about unity, which, you know, everybody does when either – I mean, I do it on the winning or the losing side. But my speech wasn't necessarily that, hey, we're going to all come together and sing Kumbaya. It's more of, hey, you know, I came to this table in 2021, you know, before a lot of these individuals had come onto the scene, and some of them that had been there the whole time. And we come to the table, and time and time again, that table is flipped. Like, the people who come to our table flip it and walk away. And so it's this both sidesism that there's, you know, hey, you know, we're the disruptors in the room. I have to remind everybody that in 2021, or actually in 2020,
and 2021,
the red, white, and blue print proponents, you know, Modi's recall, well, actually everyone's recall.
Yeah.
There was three different recalls, two of them didn't go through. Alyssa McEwen was standing at the rear of the room with a bullhorn,
right,
to the extent to where they actually, I mean, it's on film,
right,
where they actually had to stop completely a meeting.
And
Penal Code 403.
That's actually an example of Penal Code 403.
Yeah, because they physically could not continue the meeting, which is the legal definition.
Right.
Well, there are court cases that literally state that if you can see the people that are speaking and hear them, that is not considered disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am sitting on the floor with a dangerous sign. It must be dangerous because they called in six sheriffs.
Ideas are dangerous.
So many police officers and militia members.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
Fourth
oh
sign.
My gosh. Okay, let's
fourth
pause.
Sign.
Yes.
We have to go to a break, but let's talk about those militia members when we get back.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll be right back.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Shasta and Mass. We're live at the downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, 530-605-8244. No, just kidding. 530-605-4567.
Or
67. Yeah. I just gave them someone else's
number.
Sorry about that number.
Or two if you're up for adventure.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Anyways, we are here tonight, if you're just now catching in. We are here with Benjamin Nowain with the
North State
Breakdown. Yeah. And his lovely wife, Jenny Nowain, who is now a hardened criminal.
Trouble.
And Ashley is on the line, our co-host.
Hey, hey, hey.
And so when we left, we were talking about who was at that first, the third Board of Supervisors meeting.
November 7th.
Where Jenny was arrested for peacefully protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that numerous sheriffs showed up along with a whole wall full of militia members.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Reading police officers.
And Reading police officers.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know Jenny Nowain, she's a little tiny strawberry-looking woman that's so softly spoken, if you're listening to her here. And she has spoken for years at the Board of Supervisors meetings so quietly and respectfully 99% of the time.
Yeah, there is that small.
I love it when she's not nice, but, you know.
That's kind of my favorite, too.
We need all kinds of people to make the world go round.
Need some spicy berries sometimes.
have strawberry that spits lava.
So for Jenny to get so upset that she goes and sits in the middle of the room and refuses to leave and goes to jail for it, it had to have been quite a lot and something that you're very passionate about and you wanted to be heard.
Well, I mean, anybody who was there during when, I mean, votes are still being counted, but for that first week there, on the first night, Joanna didn't go home.
Right.
She was up that whole morning, that whole night, and then into the next day, all the way until they closed. And she just kept going, like the Energizer Bunny. And it's like, how can you punish somebody who's that dedicated to their job?
Yeah, not to mention she was not given the promotion that she earned, mm-hmm. or the
and she's working
or the
at a class.
Pay increase that she earned.
Mm-hmm.
She's working, and she continued the job after they hired somebody else with zero experience and said she had to train them. I mean, she's a saint.
Yeah.
And she's continuing to be punched and punched and punched by her employer.
I don't think anyone would have thought badly of her if she stepped
out. No, I would. I fully expected that. I would have quit.
Yeah.
If I was being disrespected and not appreciated for the work that I did, I would not continue.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, but she has a deeper, just a deeper why, you know, for why she's doing the job she's doing. She
for democracy.
Truly loves it.
And
she's passionate.
I think it should be reminded that the people who are attacking her aren't just regular everyday citizens.
Right.
They're being emboldened by the people on top, the people in charge of the a budget and the strings and who gets hired and who doesn't. Yeah. I mean,
and let's not forget, let's not glaze over the fact that they're still pushing for hand counts, which this is the part that bothers me. You have Jones in, I think it was the following night meeting, where he came in and essentially stated that, hey, you know, during the duplication process that had to happen because of the overspray situation, that he was saying, oh, there was errors that were being made, but then they're being corrected over here.
Mm-hmm.
And what if those errors weren't corrected? And then I had to think in my own head, well, but if you were hand counting, there would have been no second step to then correct the issue. So you just proved, with your own statement that would not have been an effective way to count votes.
I think anyone
and then
listening
Kevin,
heard that.
And
yeah.
Then, but then you also have Kevin Cry on yesterday morning, I believe it was Monday morning. He did his little Monday morning live, his little propaganda show, where he talks about you know what's going to happen this week. Well, there's no meeting this week, but he talked about the fact that he thought the hand counts if the voting would be done already, which is complete ridiculousness.
So every time they start talking about hand counts, I want to jump up and scream, you people don't trust machines.
Yeah.
And you're going to trust human beings that have actual bias?
They're going to trust
their human beings. No, that you are not going to trust human beings. They're going to say there was fraud with the human beings.
Yeah.
Just look at how much they trust Joanna herself.
Right.
When she's been nothing but loyal and hardworking.
Yeah.
And yet they don't trust her.
And they like to claim that there wasn't enough visibility for the observation when they're just up in their grill.
Meaningful observation.
Yeah.
Well,
meaningful.
And then when they were proven that they were wrong about what they were saying, then they started saying, well, if we can't understand the process, then that's bad too.
So in order to understand the process, they'd actually have to pay attention to it. Like in order for it to be meaningful observation, you have to make it meaningful on your end. You actually have to go. And yes, I'm quite sure that there are people out there who are just so angry that I just said that. And you know what? Die angry. No. You have to remember that in order to have observation, you need to be observing. Mm-hmm. There's these things on your face called eyeballs. Mm-hmm. You use them to look at, and then you use your brain to process what you're observing.
I think you're asking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
What I always like to say about these, what we all collectively call the election deniers, is essentially they're going in. This is what I always like to say, is that they are solutions in search of a problem. And it's always a terrible way to work your way backwards that way. They basically started with, there's fraud, now we need to fix it. Well, that's really not how this works. Like, you have to identify a specific problem before you go in to try and fix it. Well, they never actually found anything. They keep guessing at what the problem is.
Oh, and how many times do we have to hear Patty Plum and her word. What is the word she continues to use? We're at the precipice.
Yeah, we've been at that precipice.
We're at the precipice.
Hey, they ride slow motion horses, okay? It takes a while to get there.
We are getting to it. Yeah. It is coming. I mean, oh my gosh.
Traveling on the slow motion horses takes a really long time.
Yeah, and I have to—I just have to mention—I did listen to Tanner's interview with you guys the other day. That the fact that Patty Plum called and was scamming the office to try and get them to like purchase stuff is just that floored me.
Yeah,
like, and there's no.
Wait, aren't we supposed to be digging into people who go around authority figures?
You know what? That's true.
I thought that we're supposed to be looking into that kind
of
thing.
The whole thing with the
CTCL. Mm-hmm.
Well,
we are.
When I went to the Elections Commission meeting, I asked them in public comment to investigate Kevin Cry's interference with the election.
Yes.
And they told me that wasn't their jurisdiction.
Wait, who said that?
Who was it?
Do you remember?
The commission, but I don't remember who specifically.
Was it Patty Plum or was it?
It was one of them. One of the two. Yeah.
Exactly, is their jurisdiction?
And so I said. Election interference is not the Election Commission's jurisdiction.
Yeah, but you know what their jurisdiction is? sending the election task force, which is an unofficial arm of the county, directly to people's houses and ask them how they registered.
Yeah, and creating a whole fake training session for
scribbling down numbers. Yeah. That's all they did. They scribbled
down
numbers.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was.
That was super weird.
Did you guys read the CTCL emails?
Sort of. I started reading them, and I'm like, what? And then that's when I messaged you guys, and I was like, did anybody read these already? Because I really don't want to.
Yeah.
Just give me the brief intro.
I glazed over them, but what I did learn is that pretty much what we're reading in these emails is that these individuals, at the time, I think it was Ruben Cruz who was there? No, it was Jim Ross.
Yeah.
It was Jim Ross, Kathy Darling Allen. I think Joanna was involved in a couple of the emails. They were basically asking procedural questions about what they were allowed to do.
Yeah.
Which I might add is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it means they're not going around.
And they were trying to not waste the time.
And in fact, one of the questions was literally, hey, can we go to the board chair because we've already gotten this grant signed? It was signed under a specific circumstance, but can we go to the board chair and get this signed so we can get this money to good use for the county?
Right.
And they're trying to say that that's going around, and I'm like, that's not going around the board, that's going to the board. Right. Because even if Kevin had received that email chain from them,
it would have been Patrick at the time.
And besides that, in the emails I read, they were clarifying what needed to go where.
Yeah.
You know, like, do we need to go here for this, or can we just do it ourselves?
Yeah.
Those are bureaucratic questions that you always ask to save time and energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was literally nothing in those emails that
Kevin Cry's problem is he is a narcissist. He wants control of everything. And God, they don't need to go around me.
I have a little opinion about this. I actually don't think Kevin gives a crap about this at all. I actually think this is all Patrick.
Oh,
I think Patrick has a vested interest in his agenda, and because he helped make Cry, and he's probably got some dirt on him or something. We have this situation where, you know, effectively we have one arm of the government that is essentially being blackmailed into doing stuff. And this is just what it looks like when you watch 4 years of these people behaving. Like, you have moments where they're like in lockstep agreement, and then you have moments where they're sort of arguing. Like, I don't know if you heard in the opioid meeting where Jones had said, hey, you wouldn't take free money for your business, you know, because he was talking about not funding a program that wouldn't have a follow-up year's funding plan. So he's like, I don't want to fund your first year if you can't figure out how to fund the following years. I wouldn't do that in my private business. And Jones shoots back at him, which is very strange. Like, it doesn't normally happen. Mm-hmm. But then I think about it, and I'm like, oh, so you're not going to take that money, but you're going to take – you're going to advocate for taking that money, but you're going to be against the CTCL funds, which is effectively free money.
Yeah, it's
yeah, but that's not his department.
No, they're a bunch of hypocrites.
But they all, I mean, Kevin Cry also said in that he was chewing out Mary about it. Can, you know, do you not this should be very important to these emails because you should be so upset that this happened. And he was pretending like there was a problem.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I read the, did you read RV's article today?
Oh, no, I heard about it. I heard it was very informative.
So RV did a deep dive into those emails.
Good.
So we can go read that article to know.
No.
But basically it was a big nothing burger in Kevin Cry's words.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't understand what they thought was going to come out of that.
So will Mary be highly vindicated? Just asking.
Yeah,
we wish. One of them should be highly vindicated and the other should be embarrassed,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So,
oh, we were talking about militia members.
Yeah,
we glazed
over
that whole thing.
It's break time again.
Okay.
So, break time, producer.
Well, Tarantino is.
We're going to go ahead and take a break real quick. When we come back, this time we promise to talk about militia members.
Oops. This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join us on Thursday as we welcome the Shasta County Sheriff's Department with an update of what's happening in law enforcement in the county and the county jail. Also joining us is Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo Association, with an update on the letter of intent signed by the Reading City Council to expand the lease to 25 years for a Reading Rodeo. All of this Thursday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica. We have with us the Nguyen's, Benjamin Nguyen with the North State Breakdown, and his lovely wife Jenny Nguyen, as well as my co-host Ashley. Ashley's on the line. We are live at the downtown Reading studio, KCNR 96.5 FM. And I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsors. You know who you are. This show has gone through, it's very much a public group effort. We have been paying for our spot at the radio station for 8 months now, just with small donations from people in the community.
Excellent.
We would encourage you to keep doing that because Shasta Unmasked is more important now than ever.
Mm-hmm.
We're reaching 30,000 listeners a month which is crazy. Yeah. And it's all voluntary. Our hosts are not paid. The only money that is raised goes to pay for our spot here on the radio station.
Your voice matters.
Yes. So you can send donations to Venmo at Shasta Unmasked or on our GoFundMe account, which is posted on our Facebook page. So back to militia members. So, and we're still at the first board meeting, so we better speed up.
Yeah.
So let's quickly talk about what happened with the militia members. How do we know?
Well, I mean, I don't think Jenny knew that they were there, at least not at first. I ended up going outside. I abandoned my wife at her post. Essentially, at least that's what I've heard.
Yeah, because you were sitting with her at first.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At least that's what I've heard alleged. We have a 15-year-old kid at home. Yeah. I couldn't get arrested along with my
right.
wife. Mm-hmm. So, we Rochambeau'd and she lost. And
that's my thing. I'm a single mom, so I can't just abandon my children mm-hmm. to go to mm-hmm. jail,
yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. So, so I went outside and talked to a few of the people out there, and then I sort of noticed. I think his name was Michael Camelfort, because I've seen him show up a few times, and I know that he's involved with the militia. And I believe I saw Jesse Lane and Carlos Zapata, and so I'd only seen three of them. I didn't see all nine. It wasn't until later when I saw Annalise's article mm-hmm. that I saw the photo of like the entire back wall being filled up. So clearly, this wasn't like a happenstance situation. Somebody called backup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we have suspicions that it actually came from the board.
Yeah. That's- yeah. Crazy. I mean, what kind of backup did they think they were going to provide? I'd like to know.
Those signs are dangerous, okay?
I know.
They might get a paper cut taking them from me. Like,
I mean, what are they going to do that? How many sheriffs and police officers were
going to
do?
About six sheriffs. Yeah. I don't know how many police because I never saw them. They were...
So here's the danger. I know this is like quite a funny situation, uh-huh. but one of the things that my wife had told me that because I wasn't in the room mm-hmm. that when the sheriffs came in, they were visibly distraught, shaken, almost
yes.
as if they anticipated coming into a firefight or some very violent situation.
Mm.
So almost as if they were misled, mm-hmm. kind of like if you dial it back to early 2020s, 2021, 2022, mm-hmm. where you would see on somebody calling the police on someone because they wanted something bad to happen
mm.
to them. It kind of felt like that situation where they were like, yeah, there is an individual that's refusing to leave. It's a potentially violent situation. That's me guessing. That's what mm. was said. All I know is they looked like they were ready to throw down.
They were really scared. And when I just thought I'd joke around like I did last time, and I was like, hey, because they were like, this is a, safety issue. And I was like, do I look dangerous to you? And they were like, yeah. We don't know. And then I realized I'm watching them, and they're shaken. They are visibly shaken.
Yeah.
All six of them are standing around me, and they're shaking,
yeah.
literally shaking.
I would wager that they were misled that there was a violent act that was being that was happening in there, and they that puts the public at danger, also puts my wife at danger.
Right.
For literally sitting down, she could have been mm-hmm. Physically assaulted by a peace officer, and they would have been they would have felt like they were in the right because they were
mm-hmm.
afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who's responsible for that
right.
when that happens.
Okay, so let's move to the next. This would be the opioid.
Opioid mm-hmm. meeting.
Yeah.
That was Tuesday.
So, do you want to give us a breakdown?
Oh, that seems like my husband's specialty.
It is. I do the North State breakdown. I do.
Tell us where we can find it.
Break it down right now.
Yeah.
I need some dance moves.
Yeah. So, the North State breakdown is it's on Facebook. It's featured on a news cafe, but I do some more stuff on my website, northstatebreakdown.com. Also, you can donate as a voluntary subscription
mm-hmm.
Or a one-time donation, which is extremely helpful to keep it going. As many of the listeners know, and maybe some don't, I have recently been terminated from employment from Shasta County due to a whistleblower report. So there's a lot that I can't talk about there. However, this is one of my primary forms of income currently. So just
yeah.
FYI. But about the opioid meeting, it there was I mean, it was a lot. There was 20 different agencies mm-hmm. or nonprofits there, all vying for a couple bucks. Mm-hmm. And the one I found the most interesting, I think, was the Good News Rescue Mission. They basically turned the money down. I've never seen that before. They came in and they said, "We don't want you to make hasty decisions. We see kind of the direction this board is taking, and it feels like they're itching to spend this money. We don't think that that's mm-hmm. a good idea. We think you should take time, do some investigating, get some professionals to look at this information statistically, and then come back to the table, and then we'll be here."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the only time I've ever seen, you know.
Was that Jonathan Anderson?
I don't recall the gentleman's name. I just remember the agency.
Yeah.
There was, because I can, basically, they all came up and gave their two cents. Mm-hmm. You know, Kevin seems to be very interested in spending money on youth-related items, mm-hmm. which, you know, to be fair, that
but is, not all of them. Because he wasn't interested in chemical people, even though they go to, they're one of the only places that goes to Bernie and Fall River and some
and
of the
again, it's an
places.
Ego thing. I heard him say, they didn't reach out to me.
Yes. He also, one of the programs works with SCOE, and he says, I'm not giving any money to this individuals. And it sounded like it was, you know, retribution for something. Mm-hmm. And if you were to read between the lines, I'm not saying this is true. Right. I'm saying if you were to read between the lines, it would appear as fallout for what happened with Mike Freeman and that whole email situation where it looked like he was asking for a quid pro quo to fund one of Kevin's programs, and he said, hey, this isn't, Mike said this wasn't appropriate.
Well, a quick tangent. So also, at the last board meeting, you guys were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
When he first came out and said about the tampons in the boys' bathroom and the SCOE thing.
So that actually might have been cut out of the feed.
So he also went to the SCOE meeting and said that he made accusations that he tried to contact Mike Freeman and someone else and that they were ignoring him and not responding to his inquiries.
Maybe their lawyers are telling them, too.
Wow. He's continuing to poke at SCOE now.
So he actually went to a SCOE meeting?
Yeah. Wow. The last one last week.
I suspect tomorrow he'll be at the at-home meeting. That's 9 a.m. at City Hall if anybody wants to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where is it at?
City Hall.
City Hall.
Okay.
It's like a little side building, but if you ask somebody at the front desk, they'll send you over
chambers?
There.
Okay.
Nope, not chambers. It's open to the public. Mm-hmm. It's just not widely advertised.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, people should be going to that.
Absolutely. It's not on a regular basis.
That. Is this the one that Tanessa Audette started?
Maybe.
Because when that first started, I asked if the public was allowed to come, and she specifically told me no.
Well, I just walked in there. But then again, I'm also news, so.
And we're a part of other organizations.
It would causes too much chaos when too many people are involved.
Well, there were two members of the public that did attend.
Are you guys going tomorrow?
Yes. Yes. There was two individuals that came last time. They were from. They actually were levying allegations against the No Boundaries program, which I don't want to talk about here. But there is an article in Shasta Scout that goes through that.
Oh,
that whole situation.
Do you have an opportunity to speak?
Yes, okay. There actually is a public comment period at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so back off our tangent.
Sorry.
Back to
opioid.
Opioid and organizations.
Yeah. Jenny, did you have any thoughts about the opioid meeting?
So I have to say that I don't necessarily want to be inside of Cry's head. That feels like a scary place. So I won't talk for him or assume things for him. But I do know that this is a very personal decision, that this is not something being levied simply because he feels like it.
Yeah.
If you notice, almost everything he had to say was because he had personal experience with it. Either his brother did or he has.
Yes.
Part of why he liked Youth Options is because he felt they were the reason he cleaned up when his brother didn't. A part of why he liked... And I was actually kind of excited that he said yes to Visions of the Cross, because that's one that he was very clear he wasn't happy with because his brother went through the program and didn't make it.
I believe he had an individual who went through Visions on his radio show last week or the other day.
But
many people go through rehab many times before they get clean or don't.
And some people just never do.
And that's one of the concerns I have with Kevin. He seems to operate very much on anecdotal data, mm-hmm. and it's for better or for worse, because sometimes that the right person comes to him and then he gets the information he needs. Other times he's being given information from Patrick Jones, mm-hmm. and then, or you know, somebody of that ilk that is essentially pushing him in the wrong direction. I don't know if it's okay if I say this, Jenny, but my wife has suggested, I think to him directly, that he should go through a 12-step program, not because he is an issue with substance abuse, but he has an issue with people who have substance abuse issues due to his close proximity to, you know, his brother and his family.
Like Al-Anon or something?
Yeah, and because those programs are also designed for the family members and friends that whom were affected.
Mm-hmm. I personally went through Alateen and Al-Anon, mm-hmm. and it's an important thing to do if you've been around a lot of addicts or even one in particular who's caused a lot of chaos in your life. It's very difficult not to have these excess feelings.
And resentment. Or, you know, and also you should almost recuse yourself from making those kind of decisions if you have that kind of bias. Because, like, you know, it's one thing to have passion. Like, my brother also died mm-hmm. from a fentanyl overdose. I don't think that makes me any kind of superior to give my judgment and make the call, even though my sister went through rehab. She went to Empire. She successfully completed Empire, and her life is all changed now. Those are biases now mm-hmm. in my brain.
Yeah.
People also failed Empire. People also stayed alive over here. Yeah. So those are personal opinions and personal experiences that shouldn't lead to spending millions and millions of dollars.
At the same time, don't you have to be able to recognize that bias? I mean,
exactly.
I think we all have biases. Oh, is it time to go?
We do need to take a break. So personal biases when we come back.
Yes.
This is Carl Bott. Join us on Thursday as we welcome the Shasta County Sheriff's Department with an update of what's happening in law enforcement in the county and the county jail. Also joining us is Ted Bambino, president of the Reading Rodeo Association, with an update on the letter of intent signed by the Reading City Council to expand the lease to 25 years for a Reading Rodeo. All of this Thursday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
If you haven't been listening to TV Confidential, this is who you're missing.
Louis Gossett Jr.
Eric Braden.
Danson Williams.
Burt Ward.
Peter Marshall.
Lindsay Wagner.
Loretta Swit.
Michelle Nichols.
Shirley Jones.
Louise Sorrell.
Jen Asner. A lovely and chatting interview.
It's all the
conversation. It wasn't an interview.
Well, thank you. That's what I try to do. I try to make this a conversation.
You made it.
That's TV Confidential.
Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked, our last 15-minute segment, and we were just talking about personal bias, and Jenny, you said, don't you have to be aware of your personal bias?
Yeah.
Why don't you elaborate?
Well, I mean, we all have a personal bias on something, and sometimes you have a full understanding of, oh, that's something I need to work on, and sometimes we're oblivious because it's just the way we see things, right? So you have to know. You have to know that you know that that's something you have a problem with, and that it's going to take you some extra steps to be objective about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I agree with the mission. I think that, again, they need to get some expert opinion, outside expert opinion, not from organizations, not from, but people that deal with, doctors, medical professionals that deal with, so I'm kind of inclined to listen to, what's her name? Dr. Januka's wife?
Pramila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Don't you know that if you want to listen to more experts in the field who have a varied and more general expertise than you, but that's just kicking the can.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yep.
Yeah. That does bother me. That does bother me, the whole, hey, we're not interested in setting up committees or commissions, which is a ridiculous statement for Kevin to make, because it makes the Elections Commission, like, very transparently seem redundant, or at least hypocritical for them to have that commission, but no other commissions.
I mean, or maybe it was just admitting that they're just kicking things down the road and giving them something to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well, you got to give the mean moth something to do, because you can only crochet so many angry Trump flag.
There were two other notable things that happened during the opioid meetings before we move off of that. And one I thought was the naloxone vending machines. They were just completely disinterested in, at least the board majority was disinterested in moving that forward, which I thought that's an easy win.
I did
talk to some first responders that were against it, and they had some good thoughts. They said that money probably would be better spent training, professionals and having classes and stuff to try to get people to understand how to use this tool. Because basically, when you get the naloxone, there's like a little tiny label that you peel back with instructions, and the moment that you're probably reading those is not going to be like, okay, let me put on my reading glasses and just chill for a minute. Mm-hmm. This is life and death at that point. So the naloxone itself comes in for free. It's I think it's paid by state or federal. Mm-hmm. Like it's shipped by the pallet. Everybody gets it. It's the distribution method that needs to be revised. Mm-hmm. And there may be a human element to distributing this stuff that might be cheaper or more effective or just as effective as the vending machine. So I'm willing to meet them there. But I was kind of disappointed, because it felt like there was a lot to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if someone addicted to drugs is shooting heroin or whatever in their veins, I'm pretty sure they can figure out how to take off a sticky thing on top of the drug.
Well, it's typically not the person who's ODing that's doing it. And the argument that I kept hearing about the vending machines being no good is, well, they're going to have to go across town and get it. And I'm like, no, they're supposed to already have it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to know if they talk to Running Rancheria about them using the vending machines.
Yeah.
And trying to understand how they came to that decision.
Yeah.
You know, that would be a quick phone call from Kevin Cry. Or even
have a representative come in and speak. They'd probably be happy to do it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I thought was interesting in the meeting was that I believe Tim Garmin was advocating for, hey, let's push this out 8 months. And, you know, just as an FYI, Tim has absolutely no skin in the game, because he is going to be out of office in January. So him saying we should get more expert, information doesn't benefit him to even be in a position to make a decision. So he's just saying we should get better information. And so, Kevin just kind of squirms in his seat and says, nope, we have to make a decision now. We got to do it as quickly as possible. We don't want to kick the can down the road with those educated elitists or whatever, he said. He didn't say that. That's just how I hear it in my head. But the part that bothered me is that Tim then votes to bring something back to where, and he actually makes a public statement, oh, I would vote to fund this. And just without skipping a beat, Kevin turns and goes, hey, you know what? What did he say? Oh, that's right. He says, hey, you know what? You're going to vote on this, and you just said you wouldn't. You said you'd push it down the road. And Tim's like, yeah, but this is the situation you put us in. So if I have to make a decision, I'm going to. So I don't understand why you're trying to gotcha me.
Right.
So do we have a phone call?
Yeah, we do.
Ooh.
We'll just go ahead and bring them on.
This is Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Hey.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi. Hi, Jenny. Hi, Ben. You guys heard my thoughts and prayers, but I want to, I know we're short on time, so I don't mean to interrupt.
Tiffany?
Uh-huh.
Hi there. Now we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Ben. Hi, Jenny.
Hey.
You're in my prayers and thoughts. Real quick, I know we're short on time, but the vending machines, they're excellent. But every medical facility, Shasta Community Health Center, Hill Country, of course, Redding Rancheria, they hand out Narcan.
Yeah,
and,
no, I heard that.
As a former employee, we were all trained both in the nasal and the injectable because when somebody's OD'd, you cannot give yourself Narcan.
Oh,
so we carried it around with us, and when a client would come in and say somebody OD'd, we would grab both the injectable and the Narcan and go running, and somebody would call 911. So we had a system. So those vending machines are super important, and it's a waste. I mean, it's like ridiculous that he poo pooed it.
I understand why some people would be against him, but to be honest, I completely agree with you, and I think we should have gone with him. I do.
Yeah,
I
carry Narcan in my car.
So do I.
Everyone should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, good job, you guys. I'm so sorry you went through all that BS.
We're
going to
get through it tomorrow. I know.
I know. All right. Take care.
Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. So we have 4 minutes. Anything we want to note about the last meeting?
The last meeting was sort of an extension of the meeting on the 7th. And
it was just about attacking Joanna. Full meeting was nothing but Joanna.
Yeah, there was three different items that were all about sowing distrust in our election system, talking about, what was it, a report from Stephen Umfleet, who is – not a professional he's a hobbyist.
Mm-hmm. He kicked out of Warhob's case twice for not being professional.
To his defense, I think he's a computer programmer. He might be good at what he does, but he's also a hobbyist. And a court in Reading said you cannot be a part of this case as an expert because you don't work in the field.
Right.
And you don't have any accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kicked him out. Well, they're using this guy's talking points that were thrown out of court in the board meetings to try to sow distrust in our elections, and to even go further, to write a letter to the Department of Justice to do an investigation on our elections, which I'm actually for. I think it's a waste of money, but I actually think it's important to do this investigation and to give them the answer, maybe not the answer they want, but the answer that our elections are secure.
Except for they're not going to listen to that or care.
No, they'll
it's just going to keep going.
They'll state that there's loyalists in the DOJ.
I feel like in my job, I work with teenagers and children, and what I tell my host families when the teenager's being a brat and wants to get what they want, all of us adults in the life have to be on the same page, and we have to continue saying the same thing to the child over and over again. Otherwise, they will just triangulate and trying to get what they want from different people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep telling them, elections are good. Elections are fair. Elections are not fraud. When they have this grown-up over here, the board, telling them, oh, we agree with you. We sympathize with you, the dad.
Mm-hmm. the weekend dad.
The weekend Disneyland dad over here oh. Okay, children, we'll entertain your fraud conspiracy theory.
I think that's a really good way to look at it because if you've listened over the period of time to Kevin Cry particularly, he does not actually really believe in election fraud.
Right.
He uses it to galvanize a particular set of individuals, and whenever he moves too far away from the script, he bounces back after they threaten him or yell at him. So he's a very weak willed person.
Oh, you guys.
I know.
So much.
There's just a lot. It's Game of Thrones over in Shasta County.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's in the next 2 years is going to be more of the same, and it's
Oh, no. No, the next 2 years.
Yay, is, content for Echoplex.
The next 2 years is going to be Mad Max.
Yeah.
Ah, ramped up to 13. Soups forever.
We're being called out.
Oh, I thought we still had 2 minutes. Sorry. Okay, looks like we're time to go. But everybody, thank you for listening tonight.
Yay.
This is Shasta Math. You'll find us next Tuesday at 6 p.m. live at KCNR. See you next
week. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.